Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man. Welcome in and good morning. This is Mark Thompson, Andy Chanley, Gina Grad, Jackie Delgado, Daniel Mizrahi, Mike Sherry, Chick on the Street, and of course, the fifth Beatle, Dave Biesing. We are all Mark in the frickin' morning. Let's get that FCC legally required ID out of the frickin' way.
All right. She has to close the door so she can see. Do you want to repeat after me?
No, I got this. All right. We'll just see what happens. Hello, good morning, Aussie. Good morning, Andy. Good morning, Mark. I'm here to tell you that 100.3 The Sound is KSWDFM in HD1 Los Angeles in Orange County, Southern California's classic rock.
God, my spine curled on that. Had an interview with her once, and she was on the phone. She ate the entire interview. Oh. I even asked her, "Are you eating?" And she responded with, "How you guys? What did we do? You're eating on a radio interview."
To be fair, Andy and I have asked you that at least twice.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you ate yesterday all through the show. What are you talking about?
No, I didn't.
Every time I threw it to you, you're like, "Oh, I just drank it."
Trying to get the power bar down.
I got caught with a mouthful of nuts, but who hasn't been?
Yeah.
Today on the program, Katie shoots a gun. This is the first time ever. She's never done it.
What could possibly go wrong?
and by the way, we have a disclaimer for it, so that's going to be fun. We speak with the embattled Brian Williams. We have a hockey player. I have not been given his name at this point. We have a duck, and so I'll reveal who it is as soon as I find out. Sports with Todd, the great Randy Bachman is on the program today. This guy founded the Guess Who and Bachman Turner Overdrive. Headlines for the show. Things are getting ugly for Rosie O'Donnell. Good days if you're a Full House fan. Today, there will be a first in Major League Baseball. You will meet the mother of the year. Think before you post. The strangest sex toy I've ever heard of. And wait, you want to smell like what? All of it is just on the other side. We will conduct business in return. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound.
Yeah.
Hello, world. The youngest member of TV's Partridge Family has died. TMZ reports that Suzanne, I believe it's Croft, played the tambourine Shaken Tracy, passed away on Monday at her Nevada home. She was only 52.
Yeah, very young.
Married, mother of two daughters, Croft was last seen on TV during the 2010 Partridge cast reunion on the Today Show, where she said she was managing an Office Depot store. Now, that was one of the most powerful 1-2 punches in television. Partridge Family, then Brady Bunch.
Yes. I personally was a Brady Bunch girl, but that's just me. What about you people?
I love the Partridge Family. I never really related to the Brady Bunch. Linda... which, by the way, she's up. She's slow, but she's up.
Oh, good. good.
Looks like it was a sinus infection in the head. We gave her a decongestant, and so she's fuzzy and stupid, but she's always that.
Yeah.
It's just more so, you know, now.
Hey, Mark, being a Partridge Family fan, I got to ask you, did you ever notice or care that they switched out the youngest little kid for another younger little kid that didn't look anything like him, the little drummer?
I noticed it. Never bugged me.
Oh, well.
Yeah, they never said anything, those two.
Never.
But that was the boy and the girl, they never spoke.
They were silent puppets in the background. The little boy with very dark hair and dark skin, and the little boy with very light hair and light skin.
Okay. And Danny Bonaducci played, he was the bass player?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I don't recall what instrument he played.
I mean, in air quotes, the bass player.
Yeah. Well, he didn't know how to play it.
Right.
Danny was a friend for a while. I guess he still is. I just haven't spoken to him. But he used to play it like a guitar. until one of the guys on the set said, you don't strum a bass, you pluck a bass. And then he started doing it correctly.
Nice.
We've got Gina's Trending and Andy's Capsule just around the corner. We do speak with the embattled Brian Williams, and Randy Bachman is on this program. By the way, Danny just informed me there will be no hockey player on today. It fell through.
Wah, wah.
Let's rock the dump. Steve Miller on 100.3 The Sound. We are Southern California's classic rock.
Don't do it.
Inappropriate.
Wait.
Lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey all the time.
Now you may proceed.
I guess it's a rule of radio that I missed when I took my test for the third-class license.
When you get third-class license, yeah. You had a second-class license.
There was no wah-wah clause.
Yeah, there wasn't. Not when I took it. Because, God, I've been in radio too long. I really should get out of it. It is a first for Ann Wilson. She is single no longer. She said, I do, for the first time when she married Dean Wetter on Saturday in Topanga. Ann told People, quote, Dean and I first met in the 80s. We went out on a date. We both got hammered, and I tried to seduce him. Like the gentleman he is, he declined. Years passed. We got back in touch after we had both grown up, and pal, it worked. He is my friend, my angel, my husband, and I am truly happy. And they'll divorce in 6 months.
Wow.
No, good for her. If you wait that long, it's got to be forever,
right? How
old is she?
She's 60, right?
It doesn't say, so I don't know.
Getting married. Finally deciding to get married.
Yeah, that's
when
gonna be
you're
me.
When you're Mark's age.
I look at her like a role model.
Yeah.
Now, the boyfriend blew me away with your story of him cooking a rack of lamb for you.
Yeah.
Good Lord. What was dinner last night?
Last night was braised teriyaki salmon on the barbecue with more grilled vegetables and a lemon crispy rice that he makes. I put the rice onto the plate and I said, wow, we made a really good dinner. And he looked at me with the coldest, steeliest look. And then we enjoyed another beautiful dinner on the deck.
Wow.
See, that's good stuff.
You said cook. Deck, right?
Deck, yep.
Deck.
Okay. I'm the cook in the house, but I don't go to this guy's going, this that rack of lamb and then braised salmon on the grill.
I don't know. This is, he's working way too hard.
Well, he does, he says that if he wasn't a writer, he would have been a chef. So, you know, he can practice on me.
I don't know. I smell something.
Some braised salmon.
Some braised salmon. Yeah.
Salmon is, look, I hate fish, and salmon is the fishiest of all fish.
It is.
Was it fishy?
No. No, I don't like salmon for that reason, but you throw a little teriyaki sauce and it is a little bit all right.
Well, I had almost that much fun. I went to IKEA.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Wait, did you go alone?
No, I went with Laura. And we took a baby, so that made it more fun.
No.
Number one, IKEA, you've been, right, Mark?
Sure.
You can't just walk through IKEA. There are baffles in there. I'm turning left again. I'm turning left again. I feel like I'm in one of those corn mazes when I get in there.
Yeah.
And you just can't find your way out. But I bought something. I bought some patio furniture, patio furniture set.
The Luftflocken.
Careful.
No,
what I bought, it's great. It was. It reminded me of words that aren't words.
Yep.
But
should be.
Its name was, I gotta get this right, Askholmen. Askholmen. You had ask, uh-huh. Askhole?
Right.
Askholmen
is
was the name.
Is the joke on us? Are these not even Swedish words?
Yeah. No, this is, yeah, somebody in New Jersey makes this stuff.
Yeah.
But dude, you can buy at IKEA an entire outdoor furniture set, and it comes in a box the size of a shoebox.
Right.
And you have to put everything together.
This is crazy. I bought a table and four chairs, which, yeah, came in, and I put it in my back pocket to walk out of there with it. That was like $100.
Yeah. And the fact that you guys survived this is huge, because do you know the big thing everyone's talking about in relationships right now is the IKEA test? Because they say more relationships end over a trip to IKEA or assembling IKEA furniture than they ever realized.
I can relate.
Yeah.
I told you about the wreath that Linda and I tried to do.
Oh, that didn't go well.
Oh, yeah.
And then I told you about the tomato plant, which, by the way, tomatoes have sprung. We have 8 tomatoes growing.
Mazel
already?
Tov.
Yeah, they're the size of a grape, but they're out. Yep.
Man, what is going wrong? Something's wrong in my soil.
Now, here's the difference in you and me. You haven't put that furniture together. You're probably saving it for the weekend.
It's done.
You can't. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I hated it. Oh. I was doing that, but I busied myself. I had the guy come from the cable company to set up my new internet so I can tell the phone company to bite me. Mm-hmm. And while he was doing that, crawling underneath my house, I got out the power drill. That's the secret. You get the power drill, and you get the little hex key, the Allen wrench attachment for it. It's a bzz, bzz, bzz. I was done.
It's like you work in a body shop.
I know.
Here's a rule of thumb. I, Mark Thompson, do not put things
You don't do
together.
Anything, though.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't garden. You no. don't. You
he
don't.
Tried.
You don't cut your grass. You don't.
I call the man.
You've got people.
Exactly. I don't want to do that crap. I cut grass all my life as a kid. That's enough. I call the man. When something needs to be done, call the man.
And you know what? That's what success looks like to me. If you did that all your life and you don't want to do it anymore, God bless you.
Get to a point where you can just call the man.
I'm that guy.
Yeah,
I got a bunch of numbers, and the ones I don't have, Linda's got them. I call the man. Come do it, because I don't want to. All right, I want to fit this in, and I've edited into it because it's forever. But see what you think. Pete Townsend has released a video of a performance of The Who's Love, Rain, or Me from their Quadrophenia album, and it is done. The vocalist is British tenor Alfie Beau. This version is from the Classic Quadrophenia Project, which is going to be released on CD June 9th. It is orchestrated by his girlfriend, Rachel Fuller. It'll have its premiere at London's Royal Albert Hall July 5th. Okay, so I've edited into it, so see what you think.
I quite like the orchestration, but it's just like Engelbert Humperdinck singing The Who. I never thought I'd say these four words. I prefer Roger Daltrey.
Wow.
I find it hauntingly beautiful. I think you're having trouble letting go of the original.
Well, it's because he's singing it note perfect to, you know, the exact same cadence that Roger Daltrey did.
Yeah.
If he would make it his own a little bit more and even more operatic, I think you're right. I think I'd have an easier time with it.
Well, and the thing, it's note for note, but it's also it's smooth as glass. So there's something really cool about that, but there's something too polished about it too.
Yeah, like my parents would like it.
Love, rain on me, rain on me, rain on me.
What do you think?
I love it. I can't explain to you why. I might be because I saw the video first.
Maybe that would help. I love the orchestration. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, the images are. It's out on the beach over the ocean.
You didn't say that part.
Yeah, it's quite. So I don't know. I mean, it's to each his own. And there's never replacing the original. But I liked. There's something about it that I really, really like. We must conduct business. Gina's going to trend momentarily. The capsule is just around the corner. And Katie, chick on the street, shoots a gun today. Which, by the way, well, I'll do it on the other side. I'm going to tell you exactly what she's going to shoot in the order that she's going
she's
to shoot.
She's never shot a firearm before.
Never touched a gun.
Oh, that's awesome.
This is a first
what
for my daughter,
wrong?
Katie.
What could possibly
go wrong? Oh, God.
She'll be fine. She might get hit with a shell casing. She'll be fine.
Here's what I love. There is a disclaimer prepared by the station that she has to verbally sign off on. And I'm going to have way too much fun with it because it is ridiculous. And so shenanigans are to ensue. So I'll tell you what she's going to shoot just on the other side. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound.
R-D-I-V-O-R-C.
Rosie O'Donnell's divorce is getting ugly. Her ex, Michelle Rounds, is seeking full custody of their 2-year-old daughter, Dakota. Michelle's attorney tells the New York Post that his client wants custody to protect the child's welfare.
Uh-oh.
Rosie's people say Michelle is simply out for money. Sources tell TMZ the couple has a prenup, and Michelle is, quote, trying to hit Rosie where it hurts the most so she'll open up the wallet. A source says Rosie, who left The View earlier this year to focus on her kids, is a devoted mother, but that Michelle couldn't raise a dog.
She's real likable.
Which one?
Rosie.
I can't stand her.
But even still, what is more despicable than the less famous half of a couple saying, I'll ruin you in the news, I'll ruin you in the press if you don't go along with my extortion?
Yeah, it's pure and simple blackmail, if in fact that's the case. But I've never liked Rosie. And it began when she was on. She has the tendency to destroy herself. She was on top of the world. She was as big as Ellen in her afternoon show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Selleck was coming on. He had asked, please don't bring up the NRA. She said she wouldn't. And then she attacked him. And that was the beginning of the end for her.
Was that the downfall? I never knew why that show kind of went away when it was at its peak.
She showed a side of herself in that attack that was not attractive, and she didn't let up. He, Tom, was being very cordial and very nice, even though he had been promised it wouldn't come up. He was being very cordial, and she just kept attacking, and she just looked like an ass.
She's real likable.
Let's go to Tom. Tom is calling from Beaumont. He apparently has a funny who comment. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, how you doing today?
Really good. You're really up, and that's perfect. What do you do for a living, Tom?
Well, I'm an independent contractor for a utility company.
Okay, nice. And are you currently working?
Yes, I am. I'm on my way to the doctor's office, but I got to tell you something. All due respect, what is up with that music that you're playing?
You mean
enough,
the Hoothit?
Enough.
Oh. Wow.
Okay, so you like the original better?
Well, I'll tell you what. If I was a sponsor, I'd be yanking that stuff off the air to take my business elsewhere. You got people writing you letters saying that they don't like you. I'm old school. I've loved you from day one. You want to go to a geriatric station, have at it. But don't be losing any more listeners with that stuff.
It's crazy. Every other sentence is a compliment, and every other sentence after that is an insult.
It's carrot and stick.
I don't know how to feel.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm confused. So, Tom, kids? Tom?
Yes, yes.
Do you have kids?
Oh, yes, I do.
How many?
I have three.
Which one's your favorite?
Oh, it's got to be my baby girl.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you, and Andy, you got this coming. When your daughter gets to be four, you're done.
I was done the first day she looked at me.
You know, when you walk in the house and she runs up because daddy's home and gives you that big hug and wants to sit down and have tea with you, you're going to be a complete. If you think it's bad now, just wait.
Oh, yeah. Wait till until they get older, if you have two women at the house, your life will never be happy. You'll not know who's up and who's down.
Yeah, enjoy that 4 years of age, Andy, because when she gets to be a teenager, you're just going to fill the car with gas and drive as far as it'll take you.
You know what I heard somebody say the other day? She's great with all phases of, you know, motherhood, of helping women, you know, with birth lessons and then afterwards with care and so forth. She's an expert on it. And she said, I find that every other year is a joy. Like, you know, age 4, age 6, and sometimes the years in between are awkward and weird. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting. It's kind of like the Star Trek movies. The even-numbered ones are good, and the ones in between are... Mm-hmm.
You didn't like Search for Spock, did you?
No, okay. It wasn't good.
All right, Tom, take some time out today and bite my butt, okay?
All right, you got it.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina.
I don't know if he loves us or hates us. I can't figure it out. Well, Black Sabbath is set to record a new album and embark on a final tour in 2016. And stars, they're just like us. Actress Hilary Duff went on her first Tinder date last night. She goes by the name L. Hillary on the dating website. So look for that when you're swiping right. And here's what's trending in sports. The Spurs beat the Clippers 111-107 last night in San Antonio. The Spurs are now 3-2 in the playoffs. Wah, wah. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning. And now this song. Oh, this is a good one. The Stones.
The Stones,
this is
man.
100.3 The Sound. Southern California's classic rock.
Stones. Stones, man. Stones. I hate when I do it, but I love it, and I'll keep doing it. This is Mark in the Morning.
Kind of like 100. The last caller.
This is 100.3 The Sound. I've got a problem. Terry Polo, she's coming in. Dear friend, coming in on the 1st of June.
Uh-huh.
I'll be in town, and it's her birthday. And for some reason, in her head, and I don't even know why it is, but she has decided to call me every single day and leave a message on my cell phone. And I have music under it because it's forever and it doesn't have a point. But I'm going to share you now yesterday's phone call from Terry Polo.
Mark. I didn't leave a message yesterday. I hope it didn't screw up your radio show. I mean, because I know how important it is. So my apologies. I think that maybe what I'll do is leave two messages today. I think that would, you know, be appropriate. Mm-hmm. So I have the day off today, so I am going to go back to bed. As a matter of fact, I've got the kids off to school, and now I am actually back in bed because I can. You're working on the radio, but I'm not. I'm back in bed. I'm going to take a nice little snooze, nice little nap, get some things done around the house, baseball game, you know, that kind of stuff. Because I know people want to know these things about my life. It's important. And I thought maybe later on today I'll give you another buzz, make up for not leaving a message yesterday. Yeah. Here's your bleep, bitch. Well, I don't know. Maybe you can say bitch on radio. I don't know. But if not, then there's your bleep. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't feel like cursing today because, you know, I don't want people to get the wrong impression of me. I don't want them to think that I'm like you. And, you know, just, you know, like you. No. All right. Have a great day. I'll speak to you later. I'll speak to your voicemail later. And, yeah. So now the radio show is going to be better. I'm convinced. All right, goodbye.
God, it's every day. Every day I have to listen to that.
You know what? When she said, I don't want to be like you, you know, like you. The funny thing is, I do know. I do know what she means.
I just wanted you to know, because I'm not going to play them. But I have to listen to him every single day. And I don't know. She hasn't called me in 5 years. And now she calls me every single day.
I've never met her.
Lost time.
Already love her.
Yeah, me too.
No, look, let me tell you something. She was the one person on the film that I had never met. Well, that's not true. There were several others, but she was a major role. She was just the biggest joy to be around. She made the crew laugh. She knocked it out of the park. Just a great person. But she is stalking me and calling every day, and I wanted you to feel the pain like I do every single day. But she'll be here on her birthday, and I'm going to pull out all stops to make sure that she has a good 67th birthday.
She's a Gemini.
Oh, is she?
Isn't she? Or no, no, she, that, does that make her a Cancer?
I can't.
No, she's
you.
A Gemini.
Well, okay, enough of her. We've got Andy's Capsule just around the corner. Randy Bachman's on the show. And today, chick on the street, Katie Thompson, will shoot a gun for the first time. Oh, and I never told you. I'll do it on the other side. I'm going to tell you the gun she's going to shoot in the order that she's going to shoot him.
Can't wait.
So stick around. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound.
Whoop. You got to record this anyway just for kicks, Sam. Hey?
Well, as I told you, chick on the street is going to shoot a gun today. The first segment, she's going to open up with the hand pistols. She's going to shoot a .22.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then she's going to shoot a 9mm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Then she shoots a .44 Magnum.
That, wow. I cannot wait for that one.
Then we'll take a break. We come back. She's going to shoot a rifle. She's going to shoot an AR-15 platform.
What?
She's going to shoot an assault rifle.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the last break, they take her outside for archery. She is going to shoot a bow and arrow at a target.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, they have a pretty neato skeet shooting facility over there. I hope she'll be able to jump on and try and get a clay pigeon, too.
Did you just say neato?
I did. That's how excited I am.
Welcome back to the Ted Nugent program.
No, this is going to be good. I can't wait to see what Katie thinks.
Our phone number in here is 888-696-1003. Jackie loves it. She answers our phones, and she loves it when you call up. And before you get to the point of why you're calling, she wants to hear stories from your life.
Yeah.
The longer and more drawn out, the better. I don't know why it is. Most people would rather kill themselves, but Jackie loves it. So feel free to prop your feet up and spend some time with Jackie.
This is why I debate calling in every day.
Yeah, she wants a Terry Polo style message.
Yeah, take that Terry Polo times 11 and just prop your feet up and ask her, what is going on with you, Jackie? 888-696-1003. Here is Mr. David Bowie. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock. Mr. David Bowie. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Well,
I've been playing this so much lately.
If you're a fan, well, it's because they're everywhere. If you're a fan of Full House, this is a good time for you. They're going to present yet another one. It's called Fuller House. And it seemed like a long shot to get Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen in it, but it appears they have said they would like to do it.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, our long national nightmare is over.
And they're going to have to trade out every scene because there was only one kid.
All right.
Ashley said, quote, I ran into Bob Saget the other day and we didn't even talk about it. And I'm shocked I haven't heard from John Stamos. Still, the two said they plan to talk to the creators and see what's happening. They have been absent from all Full House reunions over the years. And one other bit of business. There is a new unauthorized Full House movie coming. This is from Lifetime. Quote, the unauthorized Full House story will look at the rise of the cast and the pressure on them to balance the idyllic family life on the show with the more complicated reality of their own lives outside the series. But it would also look at the warm bond that grew up between the cast as the show became one of America's most beloved family sitcoms.
Never watched it.
Your kids would enjoy it. When they're a little older, they would enjoy it.
No, I wouldn't. I would never let them watch.
Ridiculous.
I would destroy the TV before I would let them watch that.
But they could get lots of cute little catchphrases like Michelle's, you got it, dude, and Give me a break.
I would throw a hatchet at my TV.
Andy, it's such a family-friendly show.
I would throw a hatchet at your TV.
I respect that, actually. I really do.
I'm not a fan of it. It's a little too squeaky clean, G-rated for me, but my kids, especially my daughters, adored it.
Wait, especially your daughter? So Matt had a little soft spot for Full House?
It was something everybody watched. Yeah, I mean, I tolerated it, but they loved it. And then color me shocked when I found out that it was iconically huge. Yeah. And it is and was. And like it or not, my guess is this Fuller House is going to have crazy good ratings. Mm. By the way, before we jump into Andy's capsule, I wanted you all to know, because we have full disclosure here. During one of the records, we were chatting. Andy called Academy Award winning Hilary Swank a toothy no talent. And he also spends the entire show watching the television. He is perving on Huli Halala.
Yes, Huli Halala.
Some traffic girl. He is just nuts over this girl.
Can I do my impression of Andy during the break?
Please.
Silence. Silence.
Huli Halala.
He is beat freaking red right now, by the way.
That's Rosacea. She's pretty cute.
It's every day. I'm going to do my impression of what I see of Andy. And this is a silent impression. Here's what I see, Andy. Just staring up at the television.
Stare.
All right, it's time. It is 2 feet into Andy's classic rock time capsule.
It's time to open Andy's classic rock time capsule.
Pop her open! It's the Classic Rock Time Capsule for Wednesday, April 29, 2015. Mark, Gina, I got a quiz for you. Mark, put down your Emmy. Today in 1970, who tells the press that the Beatles will eventually
come together
and reunite? Is it John, Paul, Ringo, George Harrison, or George Martin? I'll reveal the answer in a jiff, but meanwhile, John Lennon makes the capsule 2 years later on this day in 1972. New York Governor John Lindsay intervenes on his behalf as the government, and reportedly President Nixon in particular, tried to deport him. The governor says, he actually says, to deport the Lennon Onos would be a grave injustice in light of Lennon's unique contributions to music and art. And he eventually gets his green card in 76. I just heard that song, I think yesterday, on the sound. You know, all that, the bawakawa, pusepus, that's just gibberish. Doesn't mean anything.
Not just, French.
No, he dreamed it.
All right.
And just decided to, all right. 1976, on this day, the Boss tries to meet the King. You know this story, Mark? Bruce Springsteen's in Memphis. And after he plays a show, he decides to just pop on over to Graceland. Then he gets it in his head to pop on over the wall. Then he just trots up to the door to ring the doorbell. That's where the Memphis Mafia intercept him. Conversation kind of goes like this. Elvis home? No, Elvis ain't home. Elvis is in Lake Tahoe. I'm a rock star. That's nice. Walk to the curb with us, will you? I'm on the cover of Newsweek and Time right now. Oh, good for you. Bye-bye now.
I've got Bruce Springsteen in a concert telling that entire story in his own words.
It's awesome. Did you know, I'm sure you have to know this, that Bruce wrote a song for Elvis to record?
I did not.
So you don't like it, but girl, I know you're alive.
Hear Elvis singing this?
Wow, yes.
'Cause when we kiss on fire.
He wrote that for Elvis.
For yeah. Wow. That's so cool.
And he sent it to him, but he says it got to him after he died. Speaking of Jersey Boys and the King, this is the anniversary of John Bon Jovi marrying his high school sweetheart at Graceland Wedding Chapel in Las Vegas. Yeah, good luck. A rock star marrying his high school crush in an Elvis-themed Vegas chapel. I'll give that about 6 months. What's that? I'm being told they have 4 children together and are celebrating their 26th wedding anniversary today. Good for them. I can never guess. I can never tell on those things. All right, 1970. Who tells reporters the Beatles will eventually get back together? John Paul, Ringo, George, or George Martin? What's the answer?
I honestly can't see any of the Beatles saying that, so I'm going George Martin.
That's where I was headed, but I'm going to go ahead and say Ringo.
George Harrison.
Ooh. Wow.
He says it while discussing plans for his first post-Beatles album.
All things must pass.
All things must pass. Now, is he just telling them what they want to hear, or does he really believe it? I mean, seemed like he was, you know, about as burned out on the band as anybody, but I guess we'll never know. But I do know the Beatles are going to play us out on this classic rock time capsule, and maybe we'll let George do it. This is Mark in the Morning on 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yicky. Today, chick on the street is going to shoot a gun for the first time, and she's also going to end up on the archery range. We speak with embattled Brian Williams, but none of that can happen before we read the disclaimer. And I'm going to warn you now, we're going to have to go to a new DEFCON to share this disclaimer with Katie. All right. There has to be a verbal agreement, and unless she gives it, there will be no shooting of guns, and that's just what it is. Momentarily, we will shoot guns with chick on the street, but now, heart crazy. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound, and the newly married Ann Wilson. Heart, Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Now, Katie, momentarily, in about 10 minutes, is going to shoot a gun. She's going to shoot, this is the first time ever, she's going to shoot three handguns. She's going to shoot, starting with a .22, she's then going to move to the 9mm, and then she's going to shoot the .44 Magnum. Oh, then she's going to do a rifle later, and we end it with archery. Now, I have got the legal reading of the disclaimer. This is prepared by attorneys.
That's on a piece of paper, right? So it's
it is on a
official.
Piece. So you know legal it's factual. Yeah. It's white paper with black words. Therefore, it is. I can't do this at this particular state of, that we're in. Danny, for the first time ever, please take us to DEFCON 38.
38?
38.
It's too high. She can't
38.
Take it.
Do it, Danny.
DEFCON. Oh.
Katie Thompson.
That is me.
I am going to read you a disclaimer. This is not to be messed with. This is legal, written by a bunch of stupid attorneys who do nothing but write crap like this. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Katie Thompson, you yes. acknowledge that KSWDFM, its ownership, management, staff, sponsors, and their families have in no way requested or required that you shoot a gun or go anywhere near a gun range. You understand that your employment status at the radio station is not improved or harmed in any way by your decision whether to do this. KSWDFM and its affiliates are not responsible for any damages or consequences that may incur to yourself, to others, or to property. Please verbally consent now if you agree to this statement in its entirety.
I agree, Katie Thompson, chick on the street.
Do you also agree to the above mentioned, even if you accidentally shoot Corey?
Yes, I agree, and so does he. Oh, okay.
I hereby pronounce you and Corey dumb and dumber. You may shoot a gun. All right, so get yourself prepared. She's been going through training. She is going to shoot a 22, then a 9mm, then a 44 Magnum.
I'm
that is
at him.
That is. Katie, tell us where you are, by the way.
I'm shaking my boots, but I'm at Oak Tree Gun Club looking at some guns. Oh, one of them's shiny.
And Don, the guy that's helping her, is a pro. So safety, by the way, Katie, all kidding aside now, when he puts that gun in your hand, make sure that you're pointing it out toward the target, okay?
Yeah, and he's also, like, right behind me, making sure I'm not going to mess anything up.
Perfect. Chick on the street, Katie shoots a gun in about 10 minutes. Stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Welcome back in. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Momentarily, chick on the street's going to shoot a gun for the first time in her life. First, we head to the phones from Yorba Linda. Nicole has called. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. How are you?
Really good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
I'm just calling to tell you how funny you guys are. I mean, you make it worth driving to work every day, so that's good.
Nice. And so where did you discover us?
I actually, my car actually didn't, my old car at least. I just had to listen to either Kiss FM or anything else, and if not, then I put on my auxiliary, and then, I don't know, I bought my new car, and 100.3 was on, and it was funny, and so I've been listening to it since.
All right, out of interest, Nicole, how old are you?
I'm 21.
Mm. 21. You dating somebody?
Danny, stop.
I am.
Who you dating? What's his name?
His name's Eric.
Eric. How long you been dating him?
4 years.
Jesus, that's quite a while.
Wow, since you were 17. High school now, sweetheart.
Yeah, so are you guys going to get married or what?
Not sure yet. It's a maybe. he's going to school for a long time, so.
Oh, he's one of those.
Yeah, he's one of those.
A doctor? A future doctor?
Yep. Uh-oh.
Now, Nicole, have you and he openly discussed marriage?
Yes.
And so you're in favor of it, he's in favor of it, but it's a little early, don't you think?
Yeah, that's why it's kind of just like, hey, if we make it, that'd be cool, but it's not like a, hey, let's get married tomorrow.
She's got a good head on her shoulders. Yeah.
She does, sharp as a tack.
Get yourself a prenup so you don't get saddled with all those school loans. Yeah.
Nicole, I don't know how long you've been listening, but my daughter is chick on the street, and in about 5 minutes, she's going to shoot a gun for the first time.
Yeah, I heard that.
And well, not to sound like Grandma Gina, but the fact that a 21-year-old would be motivated enough to do anything, let alone call a radio station to say she's enjoying the program, can I please give her something from the booty box?
Knock it out, girl.
You know what, my dear? I would just love to give you a $100 gift card to Burke Williams. How would you like that?
Oh, my God.
Yay!
That is awesome.
You deserve it. You're so welcome. We'll send that right out to you. Just hold on. Jackie's going to talk to you.
Wow, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Nicole, as you know, normally I would berate you and degrade you, but you're young and I don't know you that well, so I'm going to take it easy on you.
Wait. You're not even going to do it. Are you hot?
Yeah. Well, let's do that. Are you hot, Nicole?
I mean, I think I'm pretty, but I'm nothing special.
Wow, self-deprecating is hot.
Check her out.
I like her.
Yeah, listen, Nicole, now that we've met and been introduced, call back in about a week so I could degrade you.
All right, sounds good.
All right, see you then.
It's a date.
Here's REM on Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But Ian, this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky?
When this hustling, bustling, gritty city sometimes gets you down. Hey, what a treat to meet the chick on the street. You never know what she might say.
I ain't gonna cuss, bitch.
It's Katie, and it's gonna be a great day.
Well, Katie, chick on the street, is going to shoot a gun today for the first time and share her experience with us. Katie, are you pumped for this?
So pumped, so ready, going to pee my pants.
Oh, Danny has some never mind, he doesn't have them.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago.
All right, now Katie is being helped by Don. I spoke with Don yesterday. Safety is, of course, the key issue here. Katie, which gun do you shoot first?
Don, which gun do I shoot first?
What you're going to shoot is this .22 rimfire right here by Ruger.
.22 rimfire?
By Ruger.
Ruger?
Yeah.
And Katie, are you shooting at a target?
Yeah, I'm shooting at a green guy. Not an actual guy. He's a piece of paper.
Let's go ahead and shoot the .22.
All right, let's load me up, Don. Oh, Jesus.
Let us know. Give us play-by-play of what you're doing.
I'll count three, two, one before I do it.
Yeah, maybe you should say fire in the hole.
You ready?
All right. Hand on gun.
Second hand up here.
Hand on hand. Am I cocked?
You are.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready, just line up the sights.
All right. Lining up my sights. And in 3, 2, 1, fire in the hole!
Oh, oh, you guys, I got it in the middle!
Nice!
Oh, wow, a bullseye.
Good job.
All right, Katie, okay. let's move to the 9mm.
It was touch and go with that blood-curdling scream.
Yeah, that was... I hope that was good.
All right, Don, let's get the next gun going.
All right, the next gun's going to be the Glock 17 in 9mm.
Glock 17, let's get it! Oh, Jesus.
Heavier, huh?
That one makes more noise. Mm-hmm. I don't know yet. Okay, it's on my hand. All right, finger. Okay, hand here. Am I cocked?
You're ready to go.
And, oh, Jesus. This one has more kickback, yeah?
Just a little bit, yes.
All right. And 3, 2, 1, fire in the hole! Oh,
jeez.
That's a little terrifying to hear her scream right after it.
Hey, Katie.
Oh, yeah, Dad.
All right, you're about to shoot the .44 Magnum. This is the Clint Eastwood gun. This is a monster of a gun. Good luck.
This is a hand cannon.
All right, Don, load me up.
All right, the next one?
Yeah.
It's the Smith & Wesson .44 Magnum.
Okay. This has a kick, Katie.
Trigger.
I'm going to cock it for you.
Cock
all you're
going
to have to do is pull the trigger.
All right.
Go ahead and line your sights up.
Line up
pull
my
it
sights.
When you're ready to go.
Oh, Jesus. And chick on the street shooting a gun in 3, 2, 1, fire in the hole!
Oh, my, that one smells. That one smells like fire.
That's what she said.
How do you feel, Katie?
Shaky, but I shot guns.
Woo!
All right, when we check in with Katie next, she's going to shoot an AR-15 platform rifle.
There's more?
Yeah,
Katie, you're going to shoot an assault rifle.
Okay.
Stay where you are. Chick on the street is shooting guns. Plus, we speak with the embattled Brian Williams momentarily. Stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. It was on this day, back in 1980, the great Alfred Hitchcock passed away. You can't say Psycho. Well, yeah, that's unfair. What is your favorite Hitchcock film of all time?
Mine?
Yes.
I'll say Vertigo.
That's it.
Good one.
That's it. I mean, look, Psycho is the great Psycho, and it's. But Vertigo, I mean, Jimmy Stewart, that smoking hot blonde.
Just for the camera work on it. You know, that thing where they dolly back and they pan it. Oh, it's just crazy.
I loved Rear Window, but I got to say my favorite is The Birds. I saw that in a huge theater a couple years ago, and it holds up.
Yeah, you know what? They just released it on Blu-ray. If any of you listening have never seen Vertigo, you talk about, if this were a novel, which it was, but this is a page-turner. It's just great. So pull the trigger on that. Check it out. And one more thing before tune. This is crazy. It is a first in Major League Baseball. The Baltimore Orioles and the Chicago White Sox.
Wait, did you say
Oreos?
I heard that.
Say
playing
it
the White Sox Orioles. Hydrox.
Orioles.
Oreos are a cookie.
Roll that L. The Baltimore Orioles.
Wait a second. You know what? That just reminded me of a fan emailed me and said, try to get Mark to say Orioles because he's going to say Oreos. So
no.
There.
Seriously?
Yes. I totally forgot.
Hey, you two. Could I get to some content or what? Are we done?
Yeah.
All right.
Can I hold your Emmy?
Because of the... hang on. Let me get my Emmy.
By the way, did no one notice that I said they were playing the White Sox Hydrox?
I did.
Thank you.
Well done.
I'm holding my Emmy as I say this.
I got it.
The Baltimore Orioles and the Chicago White Sox are going to play today because of the rioting in Baltimore to a completely empty stadium. There will be nobody in the stands. No one.
Sucks.
But they're going to play the game.
White Sox are used to that.
That just sucks, man. It's such a beautiful park over there, Camden Yards. God.
Let's find out what's trending as I hold Miami. Here's Gina.
California Governor Jerry Brown proposes a $10,000 fine for water waste in the midst of the drought. And in light of the big fight this weekend, Manny Pacquiao says he's 100% confident that he'll beat Floyd Mayweather. Oh, and by the way, Justin Bieber is set to carry out Floyd Mayweather's belt into the ring. So we can all look forward to that. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning. We're going to speak to Brian Williams next, but first, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. This is 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Mark in the Morning. We're going to head back to Katie momentarily, but I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. Our comedy sketches might not be funny, but they're short. Now, as you know, there's been a lot of reports. There are yet more stories that have come out that Brian Williams allegedly embellished. And we have former NBC News anchor Brian Williams on the phone. Thank you so much for joining us so early this morning, Brian.
Oh, it's no problem at all, Mark. I was up early walking my two dogs anyway.
Oh, cool. What kind of dogs do you have?
Well, one is an adorable French bulldog named Croissant. The other is a golden retriever named Air Bud. You may remember him from the very successful Air Bud film franchise. A dog that plays basketball? That's crazy talk.
Brian, Air Bud came out in 1997. That would make your dog like 126 in dog years.
And he sure is showing his age. I mean, you should see how slow he drives these days. And it takes him forever to finish Sudoku. Losing a step, aren't you, Air Bud?
See, Brian, this is what I wanted to talk to you about. It's now being reported that an investigation has shown 10, maybe as many as 11 cases of embellishment or exaggerations on your part during your tenure at NBC News.
That's simply ridiculous, Mark. And if I weren't busy taking my dog Airbud to his consultation for his varicose vein removal procedure this afternoon, I would write a strongly worded letter to those investigators.
And what would you say in the letter, Brian?
Well, first of all, it would be written on paper that I made myself. It's one of my hobbies. And it would say, to whom it may concern. You don't know who you're messing with. I'm Pulitzer Prize-winning, Purple Heart-receiving journalist Brian Williams, and I could buy and sell you 100 times over.
Really, Brian? How did you get so rich?
Air Bud residuals, Mark. The money usually goes to the owner.
For God's sakes, your dog isn't Air Bud. That's an impossibility, and you're lying.
You're lucky that his old age has brought on an onslaught of hearing problems. He would be crushed to hear such a thing.
Listen, thank you for calling, Brian.
That's Dr. Brian to you.
Absolutely not.
Senator Brian?
Goodbye, Brian. Thanks again for calling.
My pleasure.
All right, we're heading back to Chick on the Street. My daughter, Katie, is shooting a rifle today. Katie, how you doing?
Good. Sorry, I'm looking at it. You guys, this thing is huge.
Katie
has a laser.
Katie is about to shoot an AR-15 platform rifle. This is an assault rifle. Are you ready, Katie?
I'm going to get cocked. Hold on.
She's going to start screaming, lock and loaded.
This is the first time someone's been cocked on our show.
Am I cocked?
You're ready to go.
Okay.
Ready to rock and roll.
Hands. All right. So this goes on my chest, you say?
It's right there.
All right, guys.
Now let me take the safety off.
Where's the red light? There it is.
There it is.
All right.
Whenever you're ready.
All right, guys. Are we ready? Mark in the Morning, are we ready?
We're ready.
Oh, yeah.
In 3, 2, 1.
Jeez.
How's your shoulder, Katie?
Smelling like a gun. Oh, my God.
That was something else. Katie, did that have a big kickback?
It you know what? That one had the least bit of kickback. The one that I did before it had more.
The 44 Magnum?
The silver one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want me to do another one with that one?
What, the right? Yeah, shoot that rifle one more time.
Will you lock and load me and cock me or whatever? Oh, wow. Oh.
Play by play, Katie.
Loading. Sorry, I was mesmerized. Loading. Cocked?
You're ready to go.
Okay.
me take your safety off.
Okay. And where is me laser? There we are.
Down the middle there.
And 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. Jeez. There it is. Yeah!
It's toothy.
All right, they're about to head outside. They're going to move into archery, so we're going to come back with that in about 4 minutes. Okay, Katie?
All right.
As we wait, let's rock the dump. Eagles here on Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Forget not, we have Sports with Todd at 5 minutes after, and the great Randy Bachman at 20 minutes after 8.
Peaceful, easy feeling after an assault rifle. That's good.
Yes.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Nothing up my sleeve. Presto!
Wrong hat.
I take a 7.5.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
As I share, they're moving over to the archery range, and it takes a little longer than we had. So we're going to do archery at 8:35, and it's a not miss. Katie has never even looked at a bow and arrow. Good morning, awesome people. I just wanted to say thank you. I was a loyal Mark and Brian listener for well over 20 years. When they went away, I felt like I lost a family member. And on that last day, I and thousands like me cried with all of you on that last show. Disappointed that my favorite morning show is over, I switched to satellite radio, but it never did for me in the morning what you guys did over the last couple of decades. Then a friend of mine told me you were back on the air in LA. I switched over to 100.3 The Sound and started listening. At first, I was disappointed because it wasn't the same show I remembered. I was really happy just to hear Mark on the radio again, but again, it just wasn't the show I was used to listening to in the morning. However, it didn't take long to really enjoy the show. Like 2 days, Mark, Andy, Gina, Danny, Jackie, Katie, and everybody else in the studio that makes Mark in the Morning possible, thank you so much for giving me back what I needed in the morning on my drive every day and for saving me $8 a month not having to pay for satellite. JB.
Nice.
Thank you, JB. And...
the game right now is at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
It might be the most famous home run in the history of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Former baseball great Kirk Gibson revealed yesterday he has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. In a statement, he turns 58 this month. He said, quote, I have faced many different obstacles in my life, and I have always maintained a strong belief that no matter the circumstances, I could overcome those obstacles. While this diagnosis poses a new kind of challenge for me, I intend to stay true to my beliefs. Oh.
Mm. Parkinson's is really, really scary.
It's a thief. Yeah.
Very scary.
My mother passed away from it, and it's one of the hardest things, and we've talked about this, but to watch a loved one just deteriorate right in front of your eyes. And Godspeed, Kirk. I hope you... but, I mean, Michael J. Fox has done some amazing things.
Yeah, they're making unbelievable advances.
Well, I remember where I was when Kirk Gibson hit. You don't even understand. This was in the bottom of the ninth. There was no way the Dodgers are going to win. And then he pops that. And he was, by the way, gimping up with a hammy. He could barely walk. But they put him in because Tommy Lasorda said, can you go? And he said, I might have one good swing. Mm. So they put him in. He gimped up there and he puts it out. And that gave the Dodgers the oomph they needed to win the World Series that year.
Awesome. Crazy.
1988. God, I love it. And I love this. When I was a kid, I would listen to the radio just so I could hear this song and I could hear them say the dirty word, which of course they didn't. The voice of best-known version of Louie Louie has died. Jack Eli, who fronted the Kingsmen on their classic 1963 recording of the often misunderstood song Died Yesterday at his home in Oregon. He was 71. Eli never got the chance to fully benefit from the single success. He quit the Kingsmen in August of 63 and didn't get to go out on the big tours so that they could enjoy what was going on with a massive hit. He recalled how the Kingsmen found Louie Louie and then made it their own.
We found a version that was done by a white soul band in Seattle. They had recorded it and it was being played on a jukebox at a teen club at the coast. And we were up there on a Sunday afternoon packing up our stuff from having played Saturday the night before. And these kids were playing the song over and over and over again. I said, well, we got to learn this song. And they all kind of went, oh, that stupid little song. I said, yeah, these kids will dance to it on this dumb record. They'll dance to us playing it.
You know, it's got to be one of the greatest myths, because as a kid, I was absolutely, like everybody, convinced he was saying the F word. And it was so hot and inappropriate and naughty. And I loved it. And it wasn't true.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, or a week or so ago, on the time on the the Classic Rock Time Capsule. The FBI launched an investigation into that song and looked at it for over a year, and their conclusion was, yeah, we don't know what he's saying either.
That seems like an overreaction. Getting the FBI involved.
Oh, it was banned. The whole state of Indiana banned that song. I mean, it's
See, that's good stuff.
It's outrageous.
I love it. I love it. Love it so much. And just the. I love the garage band sound in the late 60s because they hadn't quite figured it out yet.
Oh, it's a horrible recording.
Yeah.
It's a horrible recording.
It's what makes it.
Yeah. It just swims.
All right. I love this. Two people absolutely fed up with potholes in the streets of their town. This guy, he's an artist in Manchester, England. He got so fed up with how slow the city was to fill in potholes, he would walk out. By the way, he calls himself Wanksky. He would go out with a spray can of paint, and over the potholes, he would paint penises.
So basically, you know, in L.A., there's Banks, or not in L.A., but a famous graffiti artist is named Banksy. So he's doing a little takeoff on that and calling himself Wanksy.
Nice. Now, the city, they got calls of complaints about the penises painted over the potholes, so they had to fill them in. Now, my other favorite is not quite as the same thing, but a lady had gotten sick of the potholes, so she went out with dirt and flowers and planted flowers in the potholes.
Good for her. Good for both of them. And and Wanksy said they're ignoring these potholes, but I tell you what, if we make them huge and phallic, they'll come running to fix it, and they did.
Yeah, it worked in both cases. And I love this. Think before you post. Here's a lesson about thinking before you post something on social media. 27-year-old single mom from Dallas got fired from her job at a daycare center even before she started working there because of her Facebook post. Now, here's an idiot. She posted, quote, "I start my new job today, but I absolutely hate working at daycares." Keep in mind, her job is at a daycare, but she didn't stop. She sealed her fate with, LOL, it's all good. I just really hate being around kids.
Wow.
I made a similar post about radio. Just kidding. No, seriously, she's an idiot. And would you want someone like that around your kid that says how much they hate kids?
Absolutely not.
And again, she'll never get a job at a place. Repeat after me. The internet is a tattoo. It never goes away.
It's absolutely true. Think before you take that selfie of you and your boobs.
Come on.
Well, that's not going to get crazy.
Don't ruin it for everyone.
Yeah. Why are you shutting that down?
So if a beautiful woman walks up to a stranger and asks him if he wants to sleep with her, what do you think his answer is going to be? In a very interesting social experiment called Asking 100 Guys for Sex, a very attractive, sexy woman named Andrea approached 100 random men and propositioned them. What do you think the outcome was out of 100 guys?
She was sentenced to 100 consecutive terms of soliciting sex from...
You know, honestly, I know that we say guys only think about sex and they just need a place, but I bet these guys were too terrified once she actually approached them.
I mean, first of all, a certain percentage of the population is gay, so they probably you mark those people off to begin with. I'm going to say only 65% of the people said yes.
I'm saying 20%.
It's Gina. 70 of the guys said no thank you. 30 guys said yes.
Let that be a lesson to everyone who goes, I would do it. It's easy to say that online. It's easy to say it catcalling, but if she comes up to you and asks, you're going to freak out and start crying.
The other thing, too, is she didn't say they were single people.
They're random.
Yeah, random just people. 100 guys.
Random guys. Okay, so many of them married and happy and...
Why are you ruining the story?
I'm just saying.
Most of the men were shocked and even appalled by her proposition. Not surprisingly, when the same production team did the reverse experiment and had an attractive man approach 100 women, what do you think the response was?
Even lower.
What if it was way higher? Let's say 45%.
Not one single one said yes.
That would have been fun.
I think I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. When I was single, living in Knoxville, I would go to this nightclub. This was kind of in the disco era, and it was just packed with people. And I just couldn't get anywhere. And so on two occasions, I walked up to a table full of women, and I said, I'm about to leave. Does any one of you want to come home with me? It worked once.
A girl stood up and said, I'll go, out of twice.
Wow, 50%.
That's 50%, yeah.
That's the biggest balls ever to walk up. You got to just not freaking care to do that kind of dumb crap.
You are leaving. It's not like you had to sit around and roast in it.
That's right. What I said was absolutely, completely true. Coming up this hour in about 20 minutes, the great Randy Bachman. Plus, we're going to speak with Todd here in seconds. We got to have a legal ID first.
100.3 The Sound is KSWD, FM and HD1, Los Angeles and Orange County, Southern California's classic rock. I did that with one breath.
Check you out.
You want a cookie?
Cracker.
Todd, next. Now, as we move into Todd, a quick reminder, tomorrow at 8:50, we're going to have 10 minutes. Sam Farmer, who covers the NFL for the Los Angeles Times, is in New York for the draft. So Todd
No. He's in Chicago for the draft. Draft's in Chicago this year.
All right, sorry. And so we will talk about the draft. We may even open up the phones. You may have questions from Sam and Todd about what your favorite team's needs are. Todd, I was so entertained by the idea that the Baltimore Orioles and the Chicago White Sox are going to play today with nobody in the stands.
You know, it's the old cliche. What if they put on a pro sporting event and nobody came? And that's exactly what's happening today. Obviously, it's not because they're just not going to let people in. It's not because fans don't want to go. They want to go. But because of the unrest in Baltimore, they're going to play. By the way, it was postponed last night because of riots. And they're going to have the game today is going to be played with no fans. First time Major League Baseball history. I think professional baseball goes back to 1869. First time
now,
ever.
Is it going to be on television?
Yes, it's on television. The game's going to be on television. The media will be there to cover it. And, of course, part of the story is going to be, what's it like going to a Major League Baseball game if nobody showed up?
It's going to be
That's part
eerie.
Of the story. Yeah, that's the story.
I think TV ratings for this game are going to be through the roof.
Yeah, because of curiosity's sake. You know, what's it going to look like?
At the seventh inning stretch, is the pack of French fries going to chase after the hot dog and the...
You just hear one guy in the back, woo!
Well, that's a good... See, here's the question. And are they going to have an announcer? What's the point in making the announcements if there's nobody
hysterical.
There to hear it? Is there going to be an organist? Are they going to play the walk? You know, every player has their little lead-up music song and a guy...
Right.
Are they going to play that stuff? What for? Are they just going to have a game played in silence?
This is the ultimate if a tree falls in the woods scenario.
That's it. So it's going to be very, very strange today. There's no question about that.
And Andy was talking about the French fries chasing the hot dog. For my money, one of the most entertaining things I watch every year is the sausage race, because one of them is going to go down and it is hysterical.
Yeah, it's obviously that those costumes are top heavy. You know what I mean? That's why somebody falls, you know, straight over in front.
My finger was on the dump button when he's talking about sausages and one of them going.
So anyway, that and Mark, you already I heard you already referenced that Kirk Gibson's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and of course, yep. You know, people are familiar with Muhammad Ali, Michael J. Fox, and also the former baseball player Dave Parker have also dealt with Parkinson's disease. And Gibson's 57 years old, and boy, you know, you played the call of Vin Scully, October 15th, 1988, and like you said, if you were living in Los Angeles at that time, you know exactly where you were. I was in our house in Granada Hills, and there were some friends, and I remember my son Scott was just a little baby in a little pumpkin seat chair, and when that thing went off, I leaped into the air with my hands up, and I'm telling you, the knuckle prints are still in the ceiling at 10524 Monogram in Granada Hills, because I hit my hands going, ah, boy, that hurt. But
it's got to be one of the great moments in Dodger history.
No, it is. In fact, the Los Angeles Times, sometime in the mid-80s, did a poll on what's the greatest sporting event in Los Angeles history, and that came up, a greatest sporting moment, that came up as number one, Kirk Gibson's home run. Hey, quick, let's go through some other sports real quick. Your Giants 2-1 over the Dodgers. It was Bumgarner beating Kershaw. Bumgarner, 8 innings, Jesus. 5 hits, 1 run, 9 strikeouts. Kershaw, 7 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts. So, you know, missed it by that much for the Dodgers last night. Oakland beats the Angels 6-2. Jared Weaver gives up 5 runs in the first inning. He's 0-3 on the season. He's the ace of that staff, too. Of course, the Clippers game was a huge one last night. As I said, you know, teams that win Game 5 usually win the series. Clippers lost 111-107 to the Spurs. A crucial basket interference play by DeAndre Jordan in the closing minute really put it to the Clippers. So Game 6 is going to be Thursday at San Antonio, and obviously it's a must-win situation for the Clippers. And, you know, the Spurs, as old as they are champions. What's the old line? Never underestimate the heart of a champion. And these guys are 5-time champions, so wow. It's going to be a tough battle for the Clippers there. The Ducks will host Calgary. We now know that the series will begin tomorrow in Anaheim, so Ducks hosting Calgary in the NHL. A couple of football notes. Peyton Manning has said that, hey, 2015, this coming season, is not my farewell tour. I feel great. I expect to come back the year for that if I feel great. He's 39 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, isn't that amazing? He's 39 years old now. You know, I mean, I think of him as like the George Bland of our time almost. Right?
Well, Vinny, you know, Testaverde was playing when he was, what, 41?
Right, 40, right.
He was brought him back. But I want to say this about Peyton, and this was what makes him great. He realizes there are certain aspects of his game that he can no longer produce. So he adjusts. Does he throw a 60-yard bomb anymore? No. Does he throw the prettiest pass? No. But he figures out, these are the things that I can still do. And he plays at the top of his game with that tool of weapons that he's got.
He's the smartest player on the field, and he's often smarter than any of the other coaches that are on the sideline.
Exactly. Well, he's the closest thing to a coach on the field that I've seen in my lifetime, I think, is being a you know, watching football.
And I loved this answer. They asked him, Peyton, when you finally do retire, what are you going to miss? And he said, I'm going to miss being on the field in the huddle, because in that moment, it's just the 11 of us, and that's it. And there is a look in everybody's eye that I can't replicate. I'll never, ever be able to do that, and that's what I'll miss.
Well, and think about that. You are the quarterback, and when you're in the huddle, everybody's looking at you. And so you see all of those eyes looking right at you, and those are the guys you go to battle with. But at 39 years old, you're right, Mark. He accentuates his positives. But the most important thing for a quarterback, and I think Peyton Manning shows it the most, is that you have to be a decision maker. It's what decisions do you make on the field? And the best quarterbacks are not necessarily the most athletically talented or gifted players. They're the ones who make the best decisions. And the Browns, by the way, Browns offensive tackle Joe Thomas, one of the top players in the Cleveland Browns, says Johnny Manziel is back. He is a different guy. It's like night and day after spending 10 weeks in rehab. So maybe Johnny Football is going to get his act together, and we'll see flashes of brilliance from him.
Okay, look, here's the thing. I mean, look, you're Johnny Manziel. There's already a question. Can you play the kind of game in the pros that you played in college? And he comes in his first season and completely disrespects it. He apologizes. I got it. He was partying. I got it. And he said, I'm back. So for me, I'll see. We'll see.
Right.
I got
right.
you. I hear you. I'm not, you know, you aired. I got it. But show it. Let me see it.
You'll believe it when you see it from a guy who would go out on Saturday nights before the game, you know, clubbing. I mean, what?
Jeez,
what are you doing?
You know, he just took it for granted, and it's hard for me to let go. Yeah, how lucky you are to be in the NFL. How dare you disrespect it? Right. I remember when I played Pro Bowl. I'm kidding.
Yes, I know.
I won't even go any further.
Hey, and real quick, you know, this is such a huge week with the big fight on Saturday night. The Kentucky Derby is getting like no play right now. They say, and by the way, it's going to they draw for the post positions today. But they say that this could very well be the most talented field ever for the Kentucky Derby. This is the 141st Kentucky Derby. There are, for the first time, 5 unbeaten horses in the Kentucky Derby. Dortmund, Materiality, Carpe Diem, American Pharoah, and International Star. They draw for the post positions today. So we'll have to maybe do a little derby picking on Friday. But this is going to be an unbelievable race on Friday.
I want a mint julep. I've never had one.
Oh, let me tell you something. You've never had a mint julep?
Mm-mm.
Let me just say this. It's bourbon, okay? You think mint julep, but it's going to be a frothy little minty drink. No, man. It's bourbon, and it'll knock you down if you drink too many of them.
Okay. I want a big floppy hat.
No, you know what? That's it. We're going to have Danny get somebody to come in and make mint juleps for us on Friday, because I've never had one. Also, Todd, check this out. On Friday, Gina has arranged for us to speak with a smoking hot girl who knows all about horses, and she's going to give us the odds on the Kentucky Derby. I haven't seen her. Gina, send me a picture of this thing.
I will. Her name's Sierra Austin. She's a brand ambassador for the sport of horse racing, so she knows anything you want to know about.
Well, Todd, you've talked enough. Good. Is there anything else you've got to say?
No, I have talked enough, but I do look forward to being on tomorrow with Sam at 8:50 because the NFL draft is tomorrow night. So
it's guys, the NFL network has done this crazy thing. Prime time, round one, the ratings are through the roof. Mm-hmm. Everybody who's got a team wants to know, who are we going to get? I'll so it's watching. Tomorrow night, and Sam, myself, and Todd and Andy will talk you through. Todd, who makes your job possible, bitch?
Hey, Frontier Toyota. Did you say Frontier Toyota? FrontierToyota.com in beautiful Valencia, California. Camrys, Priuses, Corollas, Tacomas, Tundras, you name it, they got it.
Todd, we'll talk tomorrow twice. Sports now and then the Slam Talk. Coming up, Randy Bachman, the founder of the Guess Who, here in the room on Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. You know, we've talked about what is it that makes a certain kind of music, which is a hit in its day, but what makes it powerful 30, 40, 50 years later? Here's an example. We are welcoming one of the greats. This is a founding member of the music you're listening to, the Guess Who, in the room, Mr. Randy Bachman. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I couldn't be a bigger fan of the Guess Who.
Thank you.
And what it is that you did. And I had you on several occasions on the old Mark and Brian program. Yeah. You guys performed live and so forth. It was so exciting. This man that we're speaking with has earned 120 gold and platinum albums.
Is that all?
It's crazy.
Slacker.
Wow.
Randy, let's go back and talk about the Guess Who. And Randy, by the way, has a brand new album. It is out now called Heavy Blues, and we'll talk about that momentarily. Let's go back and talk about the genesis of the Guess Who and what the thought pattern was as to what the music was going to be.
Well, we were influenced by everything that was on the radio, which basically, with me, started as Elvis, with Elvis, and then that craze, and then the Beatle craze. And when Burton Cummings and I got together, we would basically get a Beatles song, a Rolling Stones song, or Brian Wilson, Beach Boys song, and dissect it and see what made that a hit at that time. And decided to, I had a really great guitar mentor who would teach me a guitar lick, and I'd teach it to somebody younger than me who could come back a week later and play it better than me. It was very frustrating, and he said to me, there'll always be a younger, faster guitar player or gunslinger, you know, like the Wild West, who's going to shoot you down, but if you write good songs, they'll last forever. So Cummings and I tried to write good songs. The hardest thing for me is when I left the Guess Who and had to write them on my own, but got lucky with, you know, taking care of business and things like that. But it's all in writing. It's all about the songs. That's what classic rock is. You don't play anything bad. You play all the hits, all the songs that endured.
God, love this stuff. Talk about, and I know that Burton, you guys had gotten back together, you and Burton Cummings, and were touring radio stations in the, I think it was the early 2000s. Talk about him as a vocalist and what that meant to the overall sound of the Guess Who.
Well, what you're hearing in the background is these eyes. I think Burton was 18 when he sang that, 18 or almost 19. And if you try to sing that, it's like an Elton John song. You think it's easy because he does it so smoothly, but it's about 4.5 octaves. It's very Pavarotti-ish because it keeps modulating, going up a whole tone right in the middle in the chorus. And the vocal on it is amazing. And this was mixed by a young guy who you might have heard of named Phil Ramone. So that's why these eyes is kind of a classic, because Phil Ramone was a young dude when he did this song. As was Burton Cummings, as was I. I was like 2 years older, 3 years older than Burton. We are real youngsters with a dream, and this was the beginning of this dream, was these eyes.
You know, I've always said that a live performance will out a musician or a band. On many occasions, I've seen on YouTube and various internet sites you guys playing live. You guys were for real. Your live performances were almost as good as the sound in the studio.
Well, we grew up as musicians. I started violin when I was 5, classical violin. Burton Cummings started classical piano when he was 5. So by the time we were teenagers, we had been practicing every day for a good hour, hour and a half. We had done our 10,000 hours, hit our tipping point, and we were 15 or 16 and wanted to start a band. We can listen to a record and figure out what everybody was playing and just automatically play it. We didn't have to learn any chords or anything. We just kind of knew it, and we just heard something and could reassemble it in our brains and play. So right off the bat, we were a staggeringly great band. And by that, I mean we could copy the hit parade. We'd play dances around Winnipeg, Edwards, as was Neil Young. We were all buddies back then, as was Turner. We all became Backroom Turner Overdrive or the Guess Who or Neil and the Squires or whatever. We played the hit parade and the Ventures and the Shadows and Elvis and Eddie Cochran and everything. And out of that, we got bored and restless and started to write our own music.
Randy, if I could get you to hang for one more segment, I want to get into your new album, Heavy Blues. I want to talk about Bachman Turner Overdrive. I want you to dispel a myth or confirm its validity.
Okay.
Randy Bachman is in the room, the great founder of the Guess Who and so much more. We'll continue that. Chick on the Street is going to shoot some bows and arrows with
she's
archery.
She's just going to shoot the arrows. She's not going to shoot the bow.
Stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Dying to find out what's trending. Actually, I'm not, but here's Gina anyway.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Actually, this is a little hard right now. Joni Mitchell's website denies the report that she's in a coma, even though many news outlets are reporting she's unresponsive, so we're definitely going to keep up on that. Please. Independent U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders will announce his candidacy for Democratic presidential nominee on Thursday. And here's what's trending in sports. UFC stripped light heavyweight champion John Jones of his title Tuesday, one day after he turned himself into police custody on a felony charge in New Mexico. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning.
I should laugh, but I cry, because your love has passed me by. You took me by surprise. You didn't realize that I was waiting.
In the room is the great Randy Bachman, founder of the Guess Who and Bachman Turner Overdrive. And Randy, we're going to talk about the new record momentarily. The record is called Heavy Blues. It is out and about. I want you to dispel a myth or solidify that it's fact. I had heard that the Guess Who were so royally screwed by your record company and or companies that you were determined in your new group to make sure that never happened again because you were going to take care of business.
That is correct.
Wow.
You are correct, sir.
So, I mean, it was so synonymous with groups in the 60s where, you know, you were excited kids. Sign here? Sure. You didn't have an attorney look at it. And then it's just one story after another of everybody getting ripped off by the big record companies. How severe was it with you guys?
Really severe. We were like, we got maybe a penny a record, which we had to divide four ways. And
hard to spend a quarter of a cent, isn't it?
It is. Then the crime was when it all came out in CD and they'd been paid, they gave us the same royalty.
Oh. No.
But instead of selling an album or a single for 99 cents or an album for $3.98, they were now selling it for $19 or $20. We got the same rate. As songwriters, we got the same rate, which is 2 cents a song, which 1 cent went to your publisher. And if Cummings and I wrote it, we would get a half a cent each. And they would deduct royalties from that. But then the mechanicals went up to 8, 9, and 12 cents per sale.
Yeah.
They paid us the old rate. Wow. So these record companies got really fat in the 70s, again, over again, when everything came out in CD. They just reissued it and didn't say, well, there was no word digital in your contract, so let's do a new contract. They just went ahead and assumed everything. That's why all these lawsuits are going on now.
Wow.
How do you let go of that? I would be so pissed off even today.
I am. We all are.
God.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Thanks for spoiling my day.
All right, now let's talk about the new record. And one of the names that I sent, and obviously this new record, Heavy Blues, which is out now, it features Neil Young, Robert Randolph, the late Jeff Healey. One of the names that pops up there is, because I've had the opportunity to watch this man play guitar, the great Joe Bonamassa.
Yes.
These guys are featured. Tell us exactly what the record is.
Well, I got offered a record deal out of the blue, which was pretty amazing in this day and age. And I told Neil Young about it. We were both in Nashville at a big event there. And Neil said, well, if you got a chance, this is your big chance. Do not do the same old RB stuff and say it's new. There's a continuum in your life. Stop that continuum. Get a new band, write new songs, get a different guitar with different scale and different strings and play differently and write different songs. And do something new. And I thought, well, I am not going to be Bruno Mars, but I can go back and maybe be Eric Clapton and Jimmy Page. Like the three great waves that influenced me was the Elvis and the Beatles and then the power trios of the late 60s. And I was very lucky. I was watching Tommy, the new Tommy, with Pete Townsend. It was the digital version of Tommy and on stage at Stratford. And Pete leaned back and said, the drummer's amazing. Sounds like Keith Moon. We went to meet the drummer. It was a woman. I asked her to do an album with me. I found a bass player a week later who was wearing a John Entwistle t-shirt, who was 30 years old and tall and beautiful with long legs and great, and she played like John Entwistle. And I thought, this is what I need. Keith Moon, John Entwistle, beautiful looking. I'll be a power trio. So this whole album, Heavy Blues, is a tribute to the late 60s Cream, Zeppelin, The Who. And if you hear each song on there, ahead of the song, I would say to the girls, let's play this like we're The Who. Let's play this like we're Robin Trower. Let's play this like the power trio. And we just launched into the song, got it done in one or two takes, and got this amazing group of 12 songs in 4 days in the studio with Kevin Shirley producing it.
There's no swearing in this, right?
No. Okay. But it sounds like 1969. This is what's missing from radio.
That is a power trio. Yeah. Is she playing with actual tree trunks?
Yes. I said, don't play your instruments, attack them.
Goodbye, mama. I ain't coming home. There's a big world out there. I'm going it alone. Leave behind the knockers. I gotta chase a dream. I wanna be somebody and I gotta be free. I wanna be somebody and I gotta be me. My latest address is that I'm living on the edge. That's where you'll find me.
It is very Who-like, the instrumentation.
It really is the first thing that jumped out. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Randy Bachman, founder of the Guess Who, Bachman Turner Overdrive. He's got a new record. We just sampled it. It's called Heavy Blues. Randy, question. When I was 16, I don't think I've ever been so blinded by anything as my desire to be on the radio. And here, I'll be 60 this year, and I never will get over that love. What is your relationship with your guitar today?
Well, the guitar is the most intimate instrument in the world. I've been playing it since I was about 14 or 15. I'm sure there's one in every house in the world, or if not, I've got 300 to displace the 300 who don't have them. It's the only instrument you put your arms around, you hold next to your bosom, it feels your heartbeat. You can feel it breathing, and it really the instrument that becomes part of you when you're playing it. And it's whether it's acoustic or electric, it is the most amazing feeling. This is my best friend. This is my third arm, kind of speak. It's just part of my heart.
I was talking to Peter Frampton, and I didn't realize at the moment until he told me, but he was in the middle of a divorce. And he was standing there with his guitar around him, and I said, "I'm sorry, what happened?" And he goes, "She couldn't really deal with the fact that I have a mistress," and he held up his guitar.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was uniquely interesting. Do you play every day?
Yes, a couple of hours every day.
And just for you, and usually when you're just playing, are you playing for entertainment or are you playing to learn something?
A little bit of both. You can go online now and get lost on YouTube and find 12-year-old kids that can teach you guitar because they're shredders or they can play something. But every night I sit down in one of these Panasonic massage chairs and go way, way back, and it's massaging my back, and I'm there with an acoustic, and I play the first song I ever learned on guitar, a couple of new things I might have watched on instructional videos, try to learn something new and add it to my repertoire.
I heard that you got together and set a Guinness record one time. Am I getting this right?
I did.
With Taking Care of Business,
yeah,
which is, you know, iconic song. You had like 3,000 amateur guitar players,
yeah,
in a stadium playing,
yeah,
that song,
yeah,
at the same time for how long was it?
About an hour.
About an hour or so?
It was outdoor in Vancouver, outside on the law court steps. It was outside. There's helicopter shots of it all.
That must have sounded awful.
It was a train wreck. Are you kidding? But I'm going to break that again with 10 times more people.
Are you seriously?
Yeah, we're doing a movie called Taking Care of Business, the World Record. And the finale will be, and I'm going to announce it on the radio, and guys like you are going to run contests, send guitar players to wherever this is, might be in Toronto.
Okay.
All the money's going to go to charity and all the world hunger and all the wars and all the disasters around the world. And we're shooting to have 30,000 to 40,000 guitar, wow, players play this song for 2 hours because I've been asked to break that Guinness record.
Right.
Which was a Canadian record at the Hard Rock in Vegas, the Hard Rock in Tokyo, and the Hard Rock in Florida. I don't want to break the record out of Canada. I'm a proud Canadian. Sure. I want to do it in Canada. So the movie's being set up now, and it's going to be about all different bands traveling to Toronto and things that go wrong. But when they get there, the big finale is in the ACC Center in Toronto, playing TCB for maybe 2 hours. 40,000 guys will also be online with a couple of million players.
That's
Everyone
great.
Has to pay $10 to be part of the band, and the money's going to go to world charity. So it'll awesome. Be a big deal
nice.
When it happens.
That's cool.
Randy, the music of the Guess Who could not have meant more to me as I was a teenager growing up and just enjoying everything about it. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. That was my teenage dream, and the dream continues.
The new record is out. It is called Heavy Blues. Pick up a copy today. Randy, the best, and thank you for coming in.
Thanks very much.
When we come back, Chick on the Street shoots a bow and arrow. Join us for it, won't you? Archery is
what
on
go
the
wrong?
Plate.
Yeah.
This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. That's a trick, and it's cheap.
Me and my arrow.
See what we're doing?
I see what you did there.
I have to give Andy the nod on this one. I was sitting here just stupid, dumbed out.
Hold Miami.
Hey, you got me and my arrow? You got Cupid? So I went and got him. Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome. He's just sitting there with his robe carelessly thrown open. Waiting for his turn to talk.
So the problem is, musically, we're obviously ready for Katie to shoot a bow and arrow, but we don't have Katie. Or at least we don't think we do. Katie, you there?
Nope.
Perfect. Well, while we wait,
I think Danny's taking care of it.
Oh, so good.
Love me some Nelson.
Oh.
And if we make up just to break up, I'll carry on.
Hey, can I say something about Mr. Bachman? So when we were all talking about these eyes and he was talking about, you know, it looks so effortless, but it's not. I just had this image of Christian dissecting that song and how it would be yet another song that I may have noticed, may have not noticed. And now I'm never going to stop listening to it.
Yeah.
I mean, who knew it was so difficult because it's, you know, he does it so effortlessly, but I couldn't sing it.
Yeah.
This is Poison Arrow.
Oh, ABC.
Check us out.
Shoot that poison arrow to my heart.
Speaking of four octaves.
There's no need to ever play this.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Except today,
yeah,
we've got the music. We don't have Katie.
No, Danny says she's here.
No, we do.
There they are.
Good. Hey, Corey. Hand it over to Katie.
What's up?
So now, Katie, and by the way, we're going to speak with Don. Don is the guy that has made this possible. They opened up early. They have a big event coming up, and we're going to talk to Don about that momentarily. But now, Katie is at the archery range. Have you been schooled on what to do?
I have been schooled. That doesn't mean it's going to go well.
I can't wait to hear this. So here we go.
Katie, you're not wearing hoop earrings, are you?
No.
Good.
All right.
I'm handing it over to Corey so that I can grab the bow.
Okay. And give us play-by-play.
All right. I am putting arrow on stick thing.
She has all the terminology. Technical term.
And three fingers pulling back. Whoa. Pulling back to face. And shooting. And 3, 2, 1. Give me yellow. No.
Not even close. Didn't hit anywhere near the bullseye, huh?
Not even close.
Try it again.
Here we go. All right. Here we go. And aha. Thank you, Dawn. Okay. Here we go. And 3, 2, 1.
All right,
we are not exiting until I get it in there.
All right. That's what she said.
Hold Pack on, a lunch. Hold on. Yeah.
Can we make
it? I'm going to get it.
Can we do a flaming arrow?
I can't even do a normal one, Andy.
Play by play, Katie.
Well, I'm concentrating, Dad.
All right.
Well, didn't hit the
paper. So much for concentration.
Katie, give Don the headphones. Let me talk to him for a moment.
She was really trying.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Don, this is Mark. Spoke to you yesterday. Let me, first of all, as the father of Katie, I want to thank you for making sure she was completely safe and taken care of today.
No, you're very welcome. She was fantastic.
So, Don, you guys out there, give the name of your business once again, please.
We're at the Oak Tree Gun Club in Newhall, California.
Okay, now you guys have a really big event coming up. Would you tell us about that, please?
Yeah, the event we have coming up this weekend, it's called the Summer Blast. And basically, our property is fairly expansive. We shoot a little over 100 acres out here. And for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all the major firearms manufacturers will be coming out. They'll be setting up booths from end to end of our property. And the public will be able to come out, come into the event, and basically go through and demo all the new products coming from these particular manufacturers. So whether it's a company like Browning or Winchester or Colt, whoever the manufacturers are, they will have their products here, their firearms here, available for the public, and they can come through and shoot and obviously decide what they like, and if they want to make purchases, we can be able to help them out with that at the same time. It's a big event for all 3 days.
And tell everybody exactly where you are and how to get there.
All right, we're in Newhall, California. We're on the off the 5 freeway in the Santa Clarita Valley. So we're very, very close to Six Flags Magic Mountain. Our exit off of the 5 is Cal Grove.
Well, Don, again.
We have a little bit.
From a father whose daughter was shooting guns today, I really do appreciate you keeping a protective eye on her.
No, and she was fantastic. Obviously, you guys, she and your whole crew is welcome back anytime. Anytime at all.
Don, can I just say, I've been to Oak Tree numerous times. I've been going for years. And not only do you have an excellent range with all the awesome shooting gallery type stuff, but going up on the golf cart and doing skeet shooting as you go down is probably one of my favorite hobbies.
Yeah, and that's one of the most popular things we do here. Our sporting clays course is really second to none. with all the natural terrain we have, the canyons, the valleys. I mean, just the beautiful views that we have of the mountains here where we are. It's wonderful, and there's not a place around us that has anything like that.
Well,
that course, as you know, is incredibly entertaining.
Yes.
It's about a mile long, and you can spend your time, spend a good afternoon up there and just have a good time and shoot a little bit and enjoy just everything that's wonderful about the outdoors.
Quickly, Don, she had a little bit of problem there with the bow and arrow, the compound bow. Is it that it's a difficult thing to master, or is there a problem with her manual dexterity?
No, it's not. It's me, but I'm loaded again, and I'm gonna get it right now. Here we go.
All right, do it right now.
She's gonna shoot again right now. So,
hear the birds chirping.
Sounds bucolic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Bullseye right in the yellow,
oh,
baby. Yeah,
Thompson.
Katie,
it's my nickname.
Katie, give us your out.
This is Chick on the Street checking out. Had the best time ever.
Katie, I'll see you soon.
Oh, and I'm going to go shoot more guns now.
Well, it's obvious she's having a good time. Katie, we'll see you soon. So just real quickly as we go, I think you guys need to get ready for what this weekend is going to be. The Avengers opens up this weekend. Mm. They are expecting it to be gigantic. The Marvel flick has already earned $200 million overseas. According to pre-sale ticket data released by MovieTickets.com, the sequel is on pace to break all records. Some of the numbers, advanced ticket sales are four times greater than that sold for the first Avengers, which earned $623 million in 2012, five times greater than Iron Man 3, which generated $409 million. And the last day, advance ticket sales for Ultron accounted for 84% of all tickets being sold.
What?
Disney is projecting to make $215 million or more opening weekend. The first flick holds the opening record of $207 million. So, if you're planning to go, you need to buy your tickets now. Linda and I are going to go Saturday morning at 11. Already got the tickets. So, if that's your plan, if you want to go be in the middle of the fray, get your... This is not a commercial, by the way. I'm just telling you, if it's in your wheelhouse to see this movie, get your ticket. That's it. Anybody have anything that's worth hearing? Andy, I know you don't because I can tell by the look on your face. Gina, you must have something.
You know, I'd like to send you guys off in this break with a really, really great life tip, if you don't mind.
Nice.
Whatever you do, always give 100% unless you're donating blood.
And I will piggyback on that with the words of Steve Martin at the end of the album Let's Get Small. He gave this advice. Always carry a litter bag in your car. Once it gets full, you can just toss it out the window. So that's it. There is more. Andy, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave you out. Do you have words of wisdom for us?
Well, sure. I got this one from the great Joe Walsh, who reminds us that if your feet smell and your nose runs, you're upside down.
Words of wisdom from Mark in the Morning. There's more to be had. Stay where you are. This is 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. We are packing up, heading out of here. Uncle Joe's got the 10 at 10.
You're just leaving it all for me. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, we're going to do cover songs today, Mark. Cover songs, and I'm surprised. Well, I shouldn't be surprised. We already got like 50 or 60 different suggestions that are excellent. So we've got to pull 10 out of that. 10 of 10 cover songs today right here on 100.3 The Sound.
Now, tomorrow, we will be joined by Sal Cerencioni. He's going to guide us through classic rock news. I don't care much for him, and he's really bad on the radio. There's a reason to listen to it. Now, this thing, and Katie, my daughter Katie, is so all about that. She is one of the cult fans of a movie called The Room. It is arguably the worst movie ever made. I'm pretty sure that Tommy, because this guy's name is Tommy Wiseau. I don't think he got the crew together and said, guys, we're going to make some crap.
No.
He tried to make it good. He wrote it, directed it, starred in it.
I saw
the billboard on La Brea.
That movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've always wondered about this
movie. I did not hurt her. I did not. Oh, hi, Lisa.
He's going to be on the show. I think he's aware that the movie is garbage, but there are. It's like the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Exactly.
They still have screenings and people go and quote it and whatever. So we'll talk to the guy that created garbage. That's tomorrow.
Oh no.
And then the draft is tomorrow night, round one, prime time. So to celebrate that, we have Sam Farmer, who covers the NFL for the Los Angeles Times. He'll join myself, Todd, Andy, and you'll have a chance to call up and speak to everybody involved about your favorite team.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.